Okay, today's daf is Shkalim Daf Gimel. We left off. We started Shkalim yesterday. We left off in the very bottom of Daf Beis Amid Beis. Today we're going to continue the discussion of Adar Rishon versus Adar Sheni. The first thing we're going to discuss is how we write in a shtar. Do we consider when it's Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni? Are any of them considered Adar Stam, where you could just write Adar, or do they have to be identified as Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni? The Gemara is then going to define what's called Tsar Rabbim, because the Mishnah had said that we take care of Tzarchei Rabbim as well on Tesvav Adar. So how do we define Tzarchei Rabbim? We're going to use Cholam Moed as a gauge. The Gemara is going to tell us that we have brises that tell us about Tzarchei Rabbim and Cholam Moed, so we're going to use the definitions of Tzarchei Rabbim in the context of a discussion about Cholam Moed to define what Tzarchei Rabbim is in our context. And once we discuss that, we're going to get into why it is that we would mark graves on both Cholam Moed and on Tesvav Adar. Why would we also take care of Kalayim on Chol HaMoed and on Tesvav Adar? Why would we need to do it in such close proximity to each other? Chol HaMoed Pesach and Tesvav Adar, just a month apart from each other. The Gemara is going to tell us many details about Tziyun Kvaros, about marking off graves, because we mentioned that in our Mishnah as well. And then in Halacha Beis, in the next Mishnah, we're going to talk about what the Shluchei Beisin did with the Kalayim that they actually uprooted. And that's going to lead us into a discussion of Hefker Beisin Hefker, what the source is for Hefker Beis and Hefker, and what the source is that Hefker is Pater from Maestros. In Halacha Gimel, on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, we're going to get into the exact method of collection, where the Shulchani, the money changers, would sit, how they would encourage people to give, who was Chayiv to give, were Kohanim Chayiv to give, were Kohanim even permitted to give the Machzah Shekel. And then in Halacha Dalit, we're going to discuss whether we're Mekabel from the Machzah Shekel from Nashim, Avadim, Ketanim, Kuti, Nachri, all different categories of people. So again, we left off on Beis Amud Beis at the very end of Beis Amud Beis, second to last line. Avle'inyin shtaros, when it comes to shtaros, if we're defining what's Adar Rishon and what's Adar Sheni, so Kosvin Adar Rishon va'Adar Sheni Stam. When it's Adar Rishon, you're writing the shtar Adar Rishon, but Adar Sheni is just Stam. That's just Adar. And that's why, because we just mentioned all of the halachos of Adar apply in Adar Sheni. Yeah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says some apply in Adar Rishon as well, but everything applies in Adar Sheni. So Adar Sheni Stam. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Adar Rishon Stam. Adar Sheni Tinayan. He says Adar Rishon is Stam, Adar Sheni is like Tinyana. You have to write the second Adar. You have to write that it's Adar Beis. So that's in terms of Shtaros. How do we paskin? So Lahalach, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that Stam Adar is Adar Rishon. And the poskim discuss, based on this discussion, what about other halachos with regard to Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni that aren't mentioned in the Gemara? For instance, let's say a person is Nasa Lunes. A miracle happens. We were just discussing Shabbos, the concept of Suda Soda. When a person has a nes that occurs to him, so there is a halacha that he's allowed to determine that each and every year that the nes happened, he can make a private Purim, can make a private Yom Tov for him and his family. What if it happens on a day in Chodesh Adar, in a year where there is only one Adar? So when does he celebrate his private Purim for years to come when there's two Adars? So that's actually a stira in the Mishnah Berurah. In Tav Reish Pei Vav, Sif Katan Ches, the Mishnah Berurah says that someone who had a neis ba'Adar and he decides to take a neder to make a Purim, when it's a Shnasi Ibur, he does it in Adar Sheni, but for some reason in Tav Reish Sadizah, Sifkat and Beis, 11 Simanim later, the Mishnah Berurah seems to say otherwise. Says that he should do it in Adar Rishon. So it's unclear exactly why the Mishnah Berurah says one way in one place, one way in another place. I don't know, but that's one case where this issue comes up. Another case where this issue comes up in the Sefer HaMinhagim, he quotes from the Aguda that since La Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, in Shul, when we're doing Birchas HaChodesh of Adar Rishon, so we don't have to say Adar Rishon. We could say that it's just going to be Adar Stam. But by Adar Sheni, we have to dafka say Adar Sheni. So that may relate to our issue. Another issue that comes up very frequently is someone has Yartzeit. So when do you observe the Yartzeit? Do you observe the Yartzeit in Adar Rishon, or do you observe it in Adar Sheni? So in the Chuvus Ma'ariyah, Gil in Simon Kuf Dalid. He says his minhag was to fast in Adar Rishon, meaning the minhag was to fast on the yard site. So his minhag was to fast on Adar Rishon, and he brings a raya from the death of Moshe Rabbeinu that people are knowing to observe the death of Moshe Rabbeinu in Adar Rishon, and even though his petira was Samach L'Nisan, the Gemara says from the in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Ches that the Shloshim of Moshe Rabbeinu was over in Nisan, and the Kriyas Megillah is in would be in Adar Rishon if not for the fact that the Gemara Megillah tells us that Smoch Geula L'Geula Adif, that we always try to associate the two Geulas, so we connect the Geula of Purim to the Geula of Pesach, but otherwise it would have been in Adar Rishon. So you see that Adar Rishon is the real Adar. That's the one that you would say. And plus, we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda in our sugya that Stam Adar is Adar Rishon. So he says that therefore a yard site should be observed. Says the Maril, a yard site should be observed Dafka in Adar Rishon. That's what the Trumas Deshan says as well, and also proves it from Rabbi Yehuda in our Gemara. However, in Shulchan Aruch Nor Chaim Sim Tavkov Samachesiv Zayin, he says by a yard site they should fast in Adar Sheni. So the Chasam Sofer explains to explain the Shita of the Shulchan Aruch that according to the Shulchan Aruch, the Shita that even the Shulchan Aruch must have understand that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the real Adar is Adar Sheni. When Rabbi Yehuda says in Shtaros he cried Adar Stam as Adar Rishon, that's not because Adar Rishon is the real Adar, but rather it's to save you from some other Michshol. Because if we would be knowing to write Adar Stam, Adar Sheni, and Adar Rishon, you have to be Mefarish. So in years that we're Ma'aber al Piyari'iya, and we don't know that the Shana is Mu'beris until the last day of Adar Rishon, so then it's going to change on us last minute. You're going to write in the Shtaros Adar Stam, and after the Ibor, you're going to think that it refers to Adar Sheni. So all the dates in the Shtaros are going to be messed up. So this din in our Gemara is not a din about what's the real Adar. It's not about the real Adar. This din in our Gemara is a special din in Hilchos Shtaros. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch must be holding. The Ramah holds that you fast Adar Rishon, though, like the Sheet of the Maril. So it is actually Machlokas on the page in Shulchan Aruch. But the Chasam Sofer is just explaining this din in Shtaros. He's explaining the Sheet of the Shulchan Aruch, which follows the Sheet of Harambam, by the way. Okay, so says the Gemara further. Now we're on the very top of Daf Gimel Amud Aleph on the top line. So the Mishnah says that we fix up the roads, we fix up the Mekvos Hamayim, we do all the Tzarchei Rabim on Tesvav Adar. So Eluin Tzarchei Rabim, these are the Tzarchei Rabim. This is a quote from a Braisa that is about Chol HaMoed. Done in Dine Mamunus, we are done Dine Mamunus, Vidine Nefashos, and Dine Nefashos cases, Dine Makos, and issues relating to Makos, Upodin, Arachin, Vecharamim, Vekdeshos, and we redeem all sorts of monies that belong to Hegdish, or that are dedicated to Hegdish, the Arachin, the Charamim, the Vekdeshos, Umashkin, as a Sota, we give a Sota to drink. All of these are considered to be, to drink the special May Sota, all of these are considered to be Sark. We burn the para aduma, we do the arifa sa'egla, if there's a dead body that's found between two cities and we don't know where he came from, so we do the whole procedure of egla arufa, verots in eved ivri, we pierce the ear of the eved ivri who decides that he wants to stay on with his master, umetarin es ha-metzora, we go through the tahara process with a metzora, we allow the metzora to go through the tahara process, umefarkin es ha-minol, we remove the lock from on top of the water, because apparently they would put a lock on top of the water so that the reservoir would get filled without people taking from it for a certain period of time, and then once it was filled up they would then remove the lock from on top, and once they would remove the lock from the top of the water they wouldn't put it back, they would leave it off, as the Tiklun Chaditin writes, Bedine Cholamo Shari. All of this is a din melechas cholam oed. To remove it is not a maisu uman, so therefore it's mutter. To put it back is a maisu uman, and therefore putting it back would be aser. So that's a din in hilchas cholam oed, but it gives us an idea. This whole statement of the Tosefta gives us an idea of what's called tzorchei rabim. Tamin taninan mashkin beis hashlachin umetzayin ala kavaros. And we also learned over there that we irrigate the fields and we could be mitzayin ala kavaros. We could mark off the graves. So lo kvartzinu me'ador. So ask the Gemara, why are we marking off graves on Chol Hamoed Pesach if we just finished marking off graves in Chodesh Adar? Why would we need to do it so close to each other, 1 month right after the other? V'tiftar sheyarat shetav shel gesham mishatfu. It could still be raining after Chodesh Adar, and therefore it could wipe away all the markings of the graves. So we need to double check, and we need to mark them off again on Chol Hamoed Pesach, even though we have just gotten through marking them on Chodesh Adar. And we said one of the things we do on Chol Hamoed is that we're yotze al aklayim, even though our Mishnah said we do that in Chodesh Adar as well. So ask the Gemara, lo kvar yatu me'adar? Didn't we take care of this in Chodesh Adar already? Why again are we being yotze al aklayim? So tiftar shoysa shana afela venat smechim nikarim. Now it must be that it was a year where the grain was slow to grow, so that which was growing was not so clearly nikar, was not so easily recognizable, and therefore we needed to wait a little bit later till Chol Hamoed in order to uproot the klayim. Minayin l'tziyun, where do we have a source for the concept of Tziyun Kvaros? Where do we find that there's a source for this idea of Tziyun Kvaros? The Gemara is going to have two possibilities. Possibility number one, Rabbi Brachia, Rabbi Yaakov, Bar Bas Yaakov, B'Shem Rabbi Chunya, Debras Chivrin, Rabbi Yosa Amrila, Rabbi Yosa says no, it was Rabbi Yaakov, Bar Acha, B'Shem Rabbi Chunya, Debras Chivrin, Rabbi Chiska, Rabbi Uziel, B'Reid Rav Chunya, Debras Chivrin, B'Shem Rabbi Chunya, Debas Chivrin. So somebody said, V'tamei Tamei Yikra, that the Pasuk says, Tamei Tamei Yikra, that one should declare tuma. Kedesha teha tuma korel chabepia v'omeris lach prosh. It's as if the tuma is crying out to you and should be calling out to you and saying, stay away. How can tuma call out to you and say, stay away? Tuma can't talk. No, but what we must mean is that there's tziyun kvaros. So we have to mark it off in such a way where it's clearly recognizable that there's tuma there, so we have to stay away from the tuma. That's one possible source. The other possible source, Rabbi Ila b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, va'avrua ovrim Be'eretz, v'ra etzem adam ubana etzel tziyun. The pasuk says that v'avru avram baretz v'ra etzem adam ubana etzel tziyun. We're going to darshan each word in this pasuk. Etzem mikan shemitzayin al atzamos. From the word etzem, we see that we are mitzayin. We mark off wherever there are bones, even if it's not a full body with basar, gidin, atzamos, doesn't have everything, just has bones. We are mitzayin for bones also. Bones certainly have the ability to be metame, even after all the flesh is decomposed. The bones are still metame. So certainly we mark off bones. Adam, mikan, shemitzayin al ashedra v'agulgoles. Adam is whatever would be defined as the rov minyan ubinyan of a human body, of a human skeleton. And what is the rov binyan of a human skeleton? The majority of the makeup of a human skeleton is the spine and the skull. That's considered the rov binyan of the human skeleton, and therefore we'd be mitzayin, even if it's not a full skeleton, it's just the rov binyan of a skeleton. Ubana, mikan shemitzayin al gabi evan kavua. Ubana means that we're mitzayin specifically by making an evan kavua over by putting the plaster or the lime over an evan kavua, an evan that is stationary, that's in place. Imomrat al gabi evan tlusha, because if you were to do it by an event lusha, by a stone that's not so set in place, so then it's going to roll around, it's going to move around, and it's going to end up somewhere else, and we're going to be metame somewhere else, as Rashi points out. The Tikkun Chadin points out, Asher Tiskalgil Lusham Yom Rusha Shami Atuma Viet Mutaro Shalokadin. Meaning the problem is going to be, forget about the fact that you're going to leave the actual grave unmarked once that event rolls away, but think about where that event rolls to. It's going to roll to a place that's totally tahar, but everyone's going to think it's tameh, and there are going to be taros that go into that location, and everyone's going to assume that the taros are tameh. We don't want to be metame taros shalokadin. That's also tragic, because then you're going to take taros and you're going to be sorry for them shalokadin. So we don't want that to happen either. Etzlo, the pasuk says, lemakom tara. So what does that teach us? Says the Tiklun Chadatin, Midaloksiv Ubana Alav. It doesn't say you build the tziyun on the grave. It says etzlo, you build the tziyun near the grave. So that's the diuk. So it's from there, it's mashma, sha'tziyun al gabe makom tahara, that the place where you make the tziyun, where you make the marking, should be right next to the grave on a tahar place. She'etzel ha'kever mitzaynin. O bavli moed katan, and the bavli in Masechet Moed Katan, Afhem and Beis explains, mefarish shelo lahafsid esataros. The reason we do this is so as not to be mafsid taros. Shem haya tziyun ala kever mamish, because if the tziyun were directly on the kever, lo yer margish ha-chabah pitom ala tziyun, no one would realize it until it's too late. You'll be walking and then, what am I stepping on? Oh, look at that, it's a tziyun kvaros, but you're already on the kever, it's going to be too late. So much better to have the tziyun right next to the kever, so it actually stop a person from going on the kever. So that's why it's etzlo, it's not al gabav, it's not olav, it's next to the kever. Tziyun, mikan l'tziyun. And the tziyun is of the word tziyun in the pasuk teaches us, good, that's how we know that there is such a din of tziyun kvaros. So that is the second possibility of how we know tziyun kvaros. Umatza even achas mitzuyenes, afal pi she'in mekaymin kein hamahil alehatame. Now what if there's only one even that's mitzuyen, meaning if you put the tziyun next to the kever, you should need two, because you should surround the kever with tziyun kvaros. It should be on either side of the kever to stop people from walking on top of it. What if you find even achas mitzuyenes? You only find one even that's mitzuyenes. What do you assume then? Where's the tumah? Is it right under the even, or is this one of the side stones and the kever is right next to it? So afal pishen mekaymin kein, even though you're not supposed to have even achas mitzuyenes, hamahil aleha tameh. We assume that it must have been placed directly over the grave, and therefore if you go on top of that even achas mitzuyenes, the person becomes tamei. Ani omer meis mitzuyon vayonasun tachteha. We assume that the place where the dead body itself is mitzuyon, the dead body is directly underneath this stone. Hayushtayim, but if there are two stones that are mitzuyon, hamahil alein tahar. Then if you're mahil over the tziyun, over those stones, you're tahar, because then we assume it was done properly, that each of these stones was placed right next to the grave, but not directly on top of the grave. So if you go right over the tziyun, you're going to be tahar. But ubei nehen tamei, you go in between these two stones, then a person becomes tamei, because that's where we assume the kever really is. Im hayachorish benatayim harein ki yichidios. However, if there was a plowed area in between the two stones, then we view each stone as if they're a separate individual stone, and because you don't plow over a grave. So we assume that if there's a plowed area in between them, each of these stones marks a separate grave, and it's one stone for each grave, so it must be placed directly over the grave. Beinehen tar, usivosehen tamei. That in between the stones is tar, but around the area of the stone themselves is going to be tamei. Tani ein mitzaynin ala basar, shem nesak ala basar. So we learned that that when we make a tziyun kvaros, so we said, yeah, for a shidr of a gulgola, for a spine and a skull of a person, you mark that off. What about if you only have flesh? Not that you only have bones, you only have flesh. So are you mitzaynin that also? Basar min ha-meis is also mitame. Basar min ha-meis certainly has the ability to be mitame. Would you be mitzayin for basar min ha-meis? So says the Gemara, no, we're not mitzayin for basar. Why? Sheminis akela basar. Because basar decomposes after a while, and it's not going to be there anymore after a while. Rabbi Yosef bar Shunem bar Kamei Rabbi Mana velo nimtza mitame taros l'mafreya. So yes, but wait a second. Shouldn't you be worried that you're going to be mitame taros l'mafreya by not marking it off? People are going to bring taros there, and it's going to become tamei. You have basar. Basar has the ability to be metamei. Samalei mutav sheyiskalkulu bo l'sha'a v'aliskalkulu bo l'yolam. He says, well, think about it. For how long is this area going to be tamei when there's basar there? For some short period of time, until the basar decomposes. So for whatever short period of time, we're willing to take the risk. We'd rather take the risk for the short period of time rather than forever mark this place as a place that's tamei, when in the long run it's really not going to be tamei. The basar is going to decompose, so it's not going to be tamei. We're not going to have anything to worry about. There's no time to really say anything. Okay, let's go back to halacha base. Says the Mishnah, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Barishona you okunim hashlichim lefnehen. Originally, when they would uproot the klayim, they would take up when the shluchei bezin would go out to find who didn't take out the klayim from their own fields. They would uproot the klayim, go rip it out from people's fields, and throw it in front of the people. Misharabu Avra Avera, when the Avra Avera became many, when people didn't mind it so much, the Gemara will explain, they actually thought that was nice. They said, thank you very much, you took out my claim for me, so what motivation do I have to take it out for myself? So people continued to do this, so they would throw it out into the road, they would throw it out into the street, so that people couldn't just take their claim and eat it. And then at a later stage, when that wasn't working either, they made a takana that they're mafkir the person's entire field. Forget about uprooting his klayim, his whole field becomes hefker, and that certainly would discourage a person from allowing klayim to grow in his field if Bezin was going to come and be mafkir the person's entire field for him. So says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yehuda, Tani Am Rabbi Yehuda, Barishono Yo'okir Mashlich L'Fnein. Originally the Shulcha Bezin would go out, they would uproot the klayim, throw it in front of the guy. Vayismechem Shtei Smachos, and the owner of the field would be very happy for two reasons. He would say, thank you very much twice. Acha Shoyim Menashkin said the same. First of all, you're weeding my field, you're taking out all the bad stuff from my field. And you're providing me with all the food that you just pulled up from my field. You're giving it right to me. You're putting it right in front of me. So thank you very much. So when people started to do this and they didn't mind it, so they instead, the Shluchei Beis Din instead, threw it out into the streets. Still they didn't mind it so much because, okay, they didn't get to enjoy the food because they threw it out into the streets, but still you were still weeding their fields for them, so they didn't mind it. So they made a new takana that they're going to be mafkir the entire field, that the whole field doesn't belong to anymore. Ooh, they could do that. Bezin has the right to be mafkir someone's entire field. So this teaches us the concept of, or this applies the concept of hefker bezin hefker, that hefker has the right to take something that belongs to somebody and say, no, it doesn't belong to you. Now it's hefker, it belongs, it's totally ownerless. Minayin shehefker bezin hefker. Where do we know that hefker bezin hefker? Where do we find such a din? Dechsiv, because the pasuk says, v'kol asher lo yavo l'shloshas hayamim ba'atzas hasarim v'azakenim yechram kol ruchusho v'yibodim mikal agola. It says explicitly in the pasuk that anyone who doesn't come back in 3 days, it's yechram kol ruchusho. Everything he has is going to be ownerless. So we see that bezin has the right to declare hefker beis and hefker. Minayin shu p'tur min ha-maisos. Good, now I know hefker beis and hefker. How do I know that when something becomes hefker, it's also pater from maisros? Meaning that you don't have to give trumas and maisros from hefker produce. So Rabbi Yonasan Bereid Rav Yitzchak Bar Acha Shamala min Hada. He derives it from the following braisa. Ein ma'abrines hashana. Even though we add a second Chodesh Adar to certain years, we're not ma'aber, we're careful to make sure not to add a second Adar to certain years. Ein ma'aber neshana lo b'shviyas v'lo b'motzai shviyas. We don't want to extend Shemitah year, nor do we want to extend the year after Shemitah year. So we're never going to add an extra Adar, says the Tanakhama at least, in the year after, in Shemitah or the year after. V'im mibrua harezu mu'baris. But if they do it, it does count. It will count as an extra, as part of that year. V'chodesh echad shehu mosif lo pater mimaisrosu. And what? Do you think the extra month that they add does not become pater from maiser? Meaning, the extra month that they add does become pater from Meiser, that extra month that they add on to the Shemitah year. Now, if you hold Hefker Bezin does not pater something from Meisros, so why, if it becomes Mu'ubar, why would it become Mu'ubar if they're Ma'aber during the Shemitah year? Meaning, we just said that it does become Mu'ubar, that it works. So from the fact that it works, you see that it becomes pater from Meisros. So it must be that Hefker Bezin pater something from Meisros. So Ad Kedon Shvius, Motzai Shvius, May. Great, says the Gemara. So that explains why Shemitah year, they're not Ma'aber the Shemitah year. They don't want to create an extra month of everyone's produce being Hefker. That's what happens in Shemitah year. All the fruit, people are often under the misconception, they think you're not allowed to eat Shemitah produce. No, everyone's allowed to eat Shemitah produce. Shemitah produce is 100% mutter to eat. You just it just has to be Hefker. The owner has to make it Hefker. The owner is not allowed to collect it and take it for himself or sell it to business with it, but to eat it for sure. Everybody's allowed to eat Shemitah produce, but it's got to be hefker. So we don't want to make everybody have to make all their fields hefker for an extra month. That explains Shemitah. Motzoi Shvius Mai. Once we're on the topic, why Motzoi Shvius do we not make an extra month? Samar Rabbi Bon Shalo Lirbos Bi Isra Chadash, because we don't want the Isra Chadash to last for longer. The Tvua Chadasha is going to be Usr until they bring the Karban Omer on the second day of Pesach. By adding an extra Adar, we're extending the Isra Chadash, because the Yashan, we assume, is all gone during Shemitah. So all you have meaning it was all hefker, so everyone took the old grains, so all you have available is chadash, is the new grains. So when all you have is new grains available, you don't want the isser of chadash to extend longer than it should. The isser of chadash in a normal year, you could rely on the stockpiles of produce that you have from previous year, but if there are no stockpiles because it was hefker and everyone took it, so you don't want, it's going to be very, very challenging to observe the laws of chadash and yashan. Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Lazar, Hadad Da'at Amar, Ad Shelo Hitzer Rebbe Lahavi Yerek Michutz La'aretz La'aretz. When was this true, that we would not be Ma'aber these years? That's only prior to Rebbe allowing us bringing produce from Chutz La'aretz into Eretz Yisrael. Avon Mishihita Rebbe Lahavi Yerek Michutz La'aretz La'aretz. Once Rebbe allowed us to bring produce from Chutz La'aretz into Eretz Yisrael, he shall Sharshnei Shvua. Then Shemitah and non-Shemitah years didn't make a difference, because there's plenty of produce available. You could bring Chutz La'aretz produce, so you don't have to worry about the fact that everyone has to make their stuff hefker and that there's not going to be sufficient produce available. You're allowed to bring from Chutz La'aretz. Why originally was it also to bring from Chutz La'aretz? Because we assume that when you bring produce from Chutz La'aretz, some of the dirt of Chutz La'aretz is attached to that produce, and the dirt of Chutz La'aretz is metame, that there's tumas eretz ha'amim, the tuma of the outsider Eretz Yisrael. So they didn't like bringing more tuma into Eretz Yisrael. But once they were matir that, so then once they were matir, bringing the grains, not just yarek is greenery, is green vegetables, but also tavua, it happens to be the grains also. Once they were matir to do that, so then it was no problem. Tani ein ma'abrin. So we said in the Brisa that we're not ma'aber Shemitah year or the year after Shemitah. Amar Rabbi Mana hadadat am rishon shayashan kesiknan avlachshav sheinasham kesiknan he shviyas he shar shnei shavua. That was only when the years were kitikunan. What does that mean? That the tavua was the grain would ripen in Nisan. That's that when everything was right. So when the grain would ripen in Nisan, but when in shanim shalok kesiknan, when in things didn't happen on time and the grain wouldn't ripen until after Nisan, so then he shviyas he shar shnei shavua. It's not going to help anyway to be matir the chadash, because the chadash is not available anyhow. The grain isn't ripe yet. You're not going to be able to use it anyway. So that's the grow over here. He changes it, not he shviyas, he motzai shviyas he shar shnei shavua. This explains why motzai shviyas should be okay. The whole reason why we said not to be Mabir Motzai Shvius is why extend the Yisra of Chadash, but if there's no Chadash available anyway, so you might as well extend the Yisra of Chadash. So that's why Motzai Shvius would be the same as the Shar Shnei Shavua as every other year during the Shemitah cycle. Tani Shal Beis Ram Gamliel Ibrub Motzai Shvius Miyad. That is, Beis Ram Gamliel were Ma'abir Motzai Shvius right away. Amr Rav Yavon Ein Min Adol Less At Shema Min HaKlum. So he says the Tiklun Chadin points out, Adala El Mahader. This is going back on what we said previously. This is going back on Adrabi Nasim Rabbi Yudah Shochiach Mehachta Ma'abrim B'Shvius Dafkar Bezim Patrim Meiser. This is going back on Rabbi Yonasan Bered Rabbi Yitzchak, who said previously that we could see from the fact that we're Ma'abr Shvius that Hefkar Bezim Patrim from Meiser. So we say, Imizua Brisa Leko Chachaklal. Then no, you cannot bring a raya from that Brisa that Hefkar Bezim Patrim from Meiser. So he said, no. The whole reason that we're ma'aber the Shemitah years, because we always have to make sure that the whole reason we're not ma'aber the Shemitah year, but if you are ma'aber, it works, is because Beit Din has a responsibility to make sure that the seasons are proper. That when Chodesh Nisan should always come out during the springtime. So there's nothing to do with Hefker, and there's nothing nothing to do with what's Potter and Maestros. You can't be Medayik anything. Mm-hmm. It's just based on taking care of their responsibility to keep the seasons intact. So Vaida Amrita, so where, what Taka is the source? How do we know that Hefker Bezdin is Potter from Maestros? If it's not what we said it is originally from this Brisa, that you could be Ma'aber Shemitah year. So where do we learn it from? So we learn it from the following. Godish Shalaluka Tachtav. Let's say you leave Leket, which belongs to Aniyim, under a giant pile of grain. So you can't identify which stalks are the leket that the Aniyim are allowed to take. So any grain that's touching the ground, we assume the entire bottom surface of the pile is Shalaniyim. All of that the Aniyim get to take. Vam Rabbi Ami, B'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, to Beis Shammai. Rabbi Ami says in the name of Shimon ben Lakish, yeah, that must be assuming like the sheet of Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai is of the opinion that Hefker la'aniyim is Hefker. That you can make something Hefker just for aniyim, and it would take on the status of Hefker. So if you hold you could do that, so even though only some of those stalks of grain are actually leket, we make it all Hefker la'aniyim, so it's all Hefker, and therefore the aniyim can take all of it, and they don't have to worry about taking Trumas and Maestros, because it all becomes Hefker, and Hefker is Pater from Trumas and Maestros. Because according to Beis Hillel, when you make something hefker only for aniyim, it doesn't become hefker. And therefore, when the aniyim take any grain that's not actually leket, they're going to have to take maestros from it, because it's not really hefker. So they're going to be chayiv in maestros. But bottom line is, what we do see from here is that when we do get to make something hefker, it's just a question whether hefker l'aniyim counts as hefker, but if we were able to make it hefker, it would be pata for maestros. That when Beis Din makes it totally hefker, then that would be enough to make a pata for maestros, and the aniyim would be allowed to have it. So Rabbi Yossi says that this din, even according to Beis Hillel, it would be pata for maestros, because it's hefker l'kola olam. It's not just hefker l'aniyim, and it's just a knas that we don't allow anyone else to take it. So it's really it's two steps. It's hefker to the whole world, and then a special knas only the aniyim get to take it. But it's not that we're making it only hefker l'aniyim. So really, the aniyim are allowed to eat from it without taking maestros as well. But the bottom line is, what we see from all this is that once it becomes hefker, so then it's not chayiv in maestros. So you see two sources, two possible sources that once hefker beis and hefker happens, something is not going to be chayiv in maestros. There's a significant discussion in the Achronim whether hefker beis and hefker works to be maknet to somebody, or hefker beis and hefker only works to make something hefker, like the lashon sounds. This sugya plays a critical role in that discussion, but we have to go further. These are long dafim. Says the Mishnah, "V'chamisha asubo on the 15th day of Chodesh Adar, shulchan osay yoshvin b'medina." The money changers would be available out in the Medina, meaning everyone's got to bring their machzah shekel. So they announced it on Rosh Chodesh Adar. 15th day of Adar, it's already getting close, so you need the reminder email. So the reminder was to have the shulchanos conspicuously located throughout the city, so people could see, oh boy, I better take care of my matzah shekel. B'chafhei yashvu b'migdash. On chafhei Adar, they already sat in the migdash. Mishiyashvu by the migdash. Mishiyashvu b'migdash hischilu l'mashkein. And once they were by the migdash, anyone who did not yet give their contribution, they started taking mashkonos, they started taking collateral from the person till he would actually give. So Beis Din would actually go out to people's homes and make sure that they would leave some sort of security to make sure that they would redeem it by giving the machzah shekel. Esmim mashkenin, who would they take a mashkon from? Leviim, Yisraelim, Pegerim, Vavadim, Shukharim, from Leviim, Yisraelim, Gerim, freed slaves, Avalo Nashim, Vavadim, Ketanim, but not from Nashim, Vavadim, Ketanim. If you have a child whose father started giving machzah shekel for him, so then he doesn't stop. He has to continue to do that for years to come. Poskim discuss whether the same applies in other areas of halacha. The Magen Avraham, I think, discusses about a tainis bechor, when the father starts fasting for the son on Erev Pesach. If his son is a bechor, he has to continue. He's not allowed to just do it one year and not in future years. That once you begin to do something, Anyway, that's the minhag to do, to fast for a bechar. When a even if a father himself is not a bechar, but if he has a son, that's a bechar. But okay, so if you so you, once you do it once, you got to keep on doing it. Ein mashkon nesakhanim mipnei darkei shalom. We don't take a mashkon from kohanim though because of darkei shalom. Now, in terms of kohanim and machzah shekel, so it's somewhat complicated. The Mishnah tells us. Rabbi Yehuda heid ben Buchri biyavne kol kohen sheshokel eno chote. The Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that ben Buchri said that any kohen who gives a machzah shekel, he's not doing anything wrong. It's not an avera to give the machzah shekel for the kohen. Amlor biyochem and zaker biyochem and zaker says loki el kol kohen she eno shokel chote. Not just that it's not an avera for a kohen to give a machzah shekel. Any kohen who doesn't give a machzah shekel is a sinner. Elisha kohanim dorshin mikras aliatzman. The kohanim like to make their own drasha in order to get out of giving machzah shekel, but really they're chayiv to do it. What was the drasha? The kol minchas kohen kalil tiyad lo sochal, that any minchas kohen has to be entirely burnt, doesn't get to be eaten. So any carbon mincha that's owned by kohanim, you're not allowed to eat. So hol v'omr v'shtei alechem lechem apanim shalanu heich nechalim. If we contribute to the machzah shekel, that means some of our money is going to go to buy the lechem apanim, the shtei alechem, the carbon omer. All these things need to get eaten. If we contribute to it, so it's going to be a carbon that belongs to kohanim. How are we going to be allowed to eat it? It should be entirely burnt. Elamai, it must be that we're not supposed to give the machzah shekel. So they decided, they made this drasha, they decided they're not going to give the machzah shekel. But they're wrong, says Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. They have to give the machzah shekel. It's their chote if they don't give the machzah shekel. So fundamental machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda says apparently they don't have to give, but they're allowed to give. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, they must give, and any excuse not to give is their own drasha that's not really correct. Says the Gemara, Ein mashkon es ketanim. So we said that we don't take a mashkon from ketanim for the machzah shekel halatva tovin, but it sounds like we do ask them for machzah shekel. That's crazy though. When do we ever ask ketanim for something? The ketanim are chayv to do such a mitzvah. So adod detemer b'shevi shtei saros. So it must be that we're talking about that he's hevi shtei saros. Avim lo hevi be saros lo b'da. But if he's not hevi shtei saros, then we certainly wouldn't ask him for anything. Olamashkin ein memashkinin. And in terms of taking a mashkon, we wouldn't take a mashkon from him. The gra adds over here the girsa in mashkin ad sheyehi ben esrim until afal pi shehevi be saros until he turns 20, even if he's heavy beisaros, because the real chiv midaraisa is only to give machzah shekel is only mi ben esrim elamayla. Elamay, we're machmir that we encourage them to give once they become a gadol, once they're heavy beisaros, once they physically become a gadol. But the real chiv midaraisa is only when they become 20 years old. So therefore, we're only going to mashkin. We're only going to take collateral from them for it once they become 20. Kini masnisin ein mashkin nesakohanim mepnei derech hakavod. The way to read the Mishnah about the Kohanim, though, we said, is that we're not mashkin the Kohanim. It said in our Mishnah, Mnei Darkei Shalom, what that really means is Derech HaKavod. One of the ways we show respect to Kohanim is by not taking a mashkin from them. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, hey, so we had this machlokas in the Mishnah, whether a Kohen must give machzah shekel. And now Rabbi Yehuda says he does not have to. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says he does have to. Amar Brechia, time of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, the reason Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai thinks a Kohen must give machzah shekel, Ze Yitnu, Yudbe Shvatim Yitnu, Ze is Gematria 12. So we see that all 12 tribes have to give, even the Shevet Kuhuna. Rabbi Tavi b'shem Rabbi Amnuna kein meshivin chacham l'Rabbi Yehuda. The Chum would respond to Rabbi Yehuda as follows. Chatas yachid mesa, ein chatas tzibur mesa. Minchas hayachid kreva kalil, vein minchas tzibur kreva kalil. That a minchas hayachid, what's their whole argument? That a carbon mincha, what's the whole argument for a Kohen not to give? Is that a carbon mincha that belongs to a Kohen has to be entirely burnt. So how could we have any ownership in the Shtei Lechem Lechem Apanim and the Korban Omer? No, that rule that a Korban Mincha belongs to a Kohen has to be entirely burnt is only when it's a Minchas Yachid. All of these Korbanos are a Minchas Tzibur. There's no din that they have to be burnt, so there's no excuse for a Kohen not to give. The Kashim Hashivim Nodin Davar Shein Amodibo. So the Gemara just points out that it's a little bit strange that when we're attacking Rabbi Yehuda, we bring up the idea of Chatos Yachid Mesa in Chatos Tzibur Mesa. That's totally parenthetical. Our main point is Minchas Yachid Kreva in Minchas Tzibur Kreva Kalil. But we mention the idea of Chatas Yachid versus Chatas Tzibur, Rabbi Yehuda himself disagrees with that line. Ditna and Shein Chatas Tzibur Mesa, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Tamus. Rabbi Yehuda holds Chatas Tzibur is also Mesa. So that line that we use to attack Rabbi Yehuda is a little bit odd that we would use that line against Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that line. The next line, though, is still a major kasha on Rabbi Yehuda, so it's not really gonna, you know, gonna change our discussion so much. V'hu mosavlan zulo nidvas yachidhi. So he would respond that this is not. Rabbi Yehuda would respond to the Chachamim that you can't compare the nidava of the shkalim to other nidvos yachid. All the other nidvos yachid, they don't give at all to the tzibur. Over here, he's giving it to the tzibur, so it's not a nidvos yachid. But since they're not chayiv in it, they're not absolutely chayiv to give it. They're not giving it belev shalim to the tzibur, so it still has a little bit of yachid attached to it. It still has a little bit of individual ownership on it. V'inan masivan lay, and they'll respond back to Rabbi Yehuda. Kivich nimsra the tzibur. No, once you give it to the tzibur, it's 100% belongs to the tzibur. Ksiv kala over al pikudim. So it says kala over al pikudim. Who's chayiv to give the maksa shekel kala over al pikudim? What does that mean? Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nechemia. It's machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Nechemia. Chad omer kol da over biyamat attain a yitain. One says it means kala over means anyone who went through the yamsuf has to give maksa shekel, and that therefore includes kohanim. They also went through the yamsuf. V'charno amar kol da over al pikidaya yitain. That it doesn't mean anyone who went through the yamsuf. It means anyone who needed to be counted in the census has to give maksa shekel. And the kohanim were not counted in the census, and therefore the kohanim do not give maksa shekel. So the one that said that it's anyone who went through the yam, that's a riot to Rabbi Yochum and Zakai, that kohanim are chayiv to give, because kohanim went through the yam also. The one that says that anyone who had to be counted gives, that's a riot to Ben Bruchri, which is Rabbi Yehuda, the B'shem Ben Bruchri in our Mishnah, who says that kohanim are not chayiv to give. Okay, there's a lot to say, but I don't know, some other time. Okay.